everybody to the May 4th Star Wars Day Board of Trustees Monclova Township meeting. Please join me in saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome again. Kathleen, you want to do roll call?
Lang?
Yes.
Fox?
Yes.
Herschel?
Here.
I'd like to adopt this agenda, but I have four additions to make. Under old business, I would like to add, I'm going to make this a motion to add the following to the agenda. Discussion regarding welcome signage and expressway signage, contract for crack seal. Under new business, I would like to put a discussion regarding a server upgrade and update on administrator signage, not signage, signature. So those four items to the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Seconded by Lux on the motion. Herschel?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Lux?
Yes.
So then, with that, I move to adopt this agenda.
Second.
Seconded by Lux on the motion. Herschel?
Yes.
Lux?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes. We have on this first meeting in May our new township administrator with us. Michael Hampton, welcome, Michael Hampton. We're thrilled you're here. I'd like to turn the microphone that we're soon getting over to you to introduce yourself to the public.
Well, thanks. I didn't know you invited everybody for that, but appreciate it.
I did. They have cake in the back, I think.
Yeah, so thanks. Looking forward to it. Appreciate the opportunity to work for Monclova Township. My wife and I reside in Monclova Township, so it's pretty cool for myself being a public servant for the last 31 years in Springfield. It's pretty cool to come here to Monclova and do some real work for all the constituents of course where we also reside. So there's been some question about, hey, you've been doing it a long time, why don't you retire? I got to tell you, public service is a passion of mine. That's why we do these things. It's not always fun, but it's very rewarding, especially when, collectively a good group is doing some good work and improving and seeing the growth of Monclova. So I've noticed the growth over the course of, the last 10 years or so, and I was looking anxious and forward to continue to see, if my skill set can help with that growth. And ready to rock and roll. We've been rocking and rolling, so we're going.
Right, you started Friday.
Yeah, good stuff.
Debbie, Chuck, anything to add?
He's stepping in with a whole list of things to do, but one of them is the microphones and speakers for the meeting room. So we'll be looking into that.
Yeah, as well as other items on the projects list that might be...
Yeah.
I'm hopefully carrying to task with the rest of our staff and
absolutely
department heads.
I'm very, very accessible. My phone, visit, email, whatever, very accessible. Never turn anyone away. So, good to go.
Gavin, anything you want to add? Tell them to stay within the budget or something?
Yeah, I look forward to working with Mike. Been good just today going over the new thing. So
thank you, Mike Hampton.
Thanks.
We're glad you're here. Super excited about item number 6 on our agenda, and that is our Lucas County engineer, Mike Panuski. Please join us at the podium, Mike, and use your big voice. We thought this room had microphones, but we learned differently. So use your big voice, and thank you for coming. We want to talk stormwater and 24 plats that aren't
Sure, you know, I'll say hi to Mike, known him in Springfield for 7 years. I've been an engineer, and I will tell you that his motto is do or do not, there is no try.
Oh, my word.
Right?
You said you're going to do your best.
Yeah, right.
So with that, I'm happy to be here and to answer any questions you have about petition process. So essentially what happens now, so we'll go what the process is now. Anytime somebody wants to do a subdivision in anywhere in Lucas County, they're required to place the stormwater improvements under petition. And what that does is essentially if the homeowners association, so the primary responsibility of stormwater infrastructure outside of a public right-of-way, is the responsibility of the residents of that subdivision and their homeowners association. It is their responsibility, it is their ownership. But as a result of our stormwater permit, so Monclova Township, along with majority 9 of our 11 townships, are under the jurisdiction of what's called an MS4 stormwater permit. That requires the ability to maintain what they call best management practices. So it's essentially your stormwater infrastructure and what prevents essentially pollution, sedimentation from entering into the natural waterways of the state. And the main item that's the biggest best management practice is the stormwater retention bond. So that has to be maintained in a way that's in conformance with the conditions when it was built. The homeowners association is responsible for ensuring that that occurs, and essentially the backdrop that we're required to do under our stormwater permit is that the essentially the county or the person who holds the permit, so the township and the county are co-joint permittees, have to have the ability to maintain that stormwater best management practice if the owners of it fail to do so. And the only mechanism that we have to do with that is a ditch petition. So now all of them are placed under ditch petition. All the drainage pipes outside of a right-of-way are also placed under the ditch petition in case if they fail, that they can be repaired. Again, the primary responsibility of that is the homeowners association, the people who own that property. But secondarily, if they fail to do so, the county can step in and maintain them, and essentially those property owners will be assessed for the cost. So the purpose of the ditch petition is that it's the people who pay for the assessments are those who benefit, and for subdivision infrastructure, those benefiting landowners are the people who live in that subdivision. Because they're always
Can I interrupt? Because you understand this beautifully, you're explaining it beautifully, but I just want to make sure I'm on the same page.
Sure.
So I live in a subdivision, and my homeowners association is in charge of all the pond maintenance.
Correct.
The ponds are really stormwater.
Correct.
Ponds.
Yep.
They might have fish and boats, but they're stormwater.
That's
ponds.
Correct. They are a best management practice. They are not a pond. Their primary responsibility is to retain stormwater.
So if my pond is overflowing because a drain is plugged or something like that, my first call should be to the homeowners association saying, hey, why aren't we maintaining the pond?
That's correct.
And then that homeowners association could say, we don't know any how to maintain a pond. That requires a specialty.
You have to hire a contractor to do it sometimes. That's correct.
And it has to come out of their funds, that homeowners association bank.
That's correct.
Okay, and they're not able to do that, so they call the township.
Right.
And we go over and we look at the drain and say the drain's plugged.
If that's the case and the drain is plugged and the HOA does not have the ability to maintain for whatever reason, the township can step in and do it if it is under petition. And they have the ability, if the cost that's associated with essentially that cost of maintenance, will essentially you send the bill to us and then we place it on the tax bill and it will be paid for by those residents in the next year's taxes.
Mind if I ask a question?
Yeah, no, that's all right.
So, Mike, thanks. You mentioned the infrastructure, such as all the drainage, and probably many residents here have those backyard basin drains. Mm-hmm. Without the petition, the township can't get back in there, or the county can't get to the backyard drain. for any improvement that needs assistance. After the petition, what we run into issues with are access to those because of whether it be fence, whether it be other things that are impeding. So I guess the question is there going to be an easement or is it going to be some type of right-of-way? Or
so there's two things that are associated with that. Typically, most of the time, at least with modern subdivisions, those pipes are placed within a drainage easement where those who are responsible for their maintenance have the access to be able to maintain. Primarily that is the responsibility of the HOA, so your HOA can go back there and mandate that happen. The issue with in terms of maintenance is how to pay for it. And the only mechanism that we have to pay for it is ditch petition funds under the Ohio Revised Code. So municipalities have different ways to be able to do that. So if you're a village or a township, it's different. If you're a township or a county, the only way you have to be able to pay for that is through assessment. And the only way you get the ability and the power of assessment is through a ditch petition.
How do homeowners associations find this stuff out? Do you send out a newsletter? Do they run into a problem and call?
Normally it's, there's different levels of HOAs. So some are very engaged, like Waterside is a very engaged homeowners association, very savvy, almost acts like a,
little
unit of government, and their people and their board members are very, very knowledgeable, and they know those things, and they do it pretty well.
Okay.
I would say another one that's similar to that is Stone Oak in Springfield Township, very active homeowners association, very engaged, and they have a whole drainage subcommittee that helps deal with those things, and then there are others that are not. And you only hear about it when something happens and you get the call and people call you asking, what is this, who's responsible, and it becomes an education about how that works.
Okay.
So there's various levels about how it works. Some are very engaged and some, only happens when something happens and they call the county engineer and ask, something's up in backyard's flooding, what's going on? And we go look at it and find out that it's clogged and say, this is your HOA's responsibility to be able to maintain and make this happen. When it becomes an emergency, the townships do have the ability to step in, county's ability to step in to do that. But when you do that, that individual homeowner that impacts will get the full assessment. So to be able to save somebody's property.
And that's for backyard drains. There's usually three or four parcels that benefit from that drain.
Typically it's three. Yeah. So normally at least modern subdivisions, there's usually three parcels. Every three parcels, there's a backyard drain. Usually, sometimes what happens is people will absentmindedly fill in the swale in the back and interrupt normal drainage patterns, and then suddenly things flood, and you find out that the reason why is because people were filling things in the backyard because they didn't like the swale because it was full of water, but it has a mechanism and it has a reason for being there because it keeps your essentially your yard from draining properly.
And Mike, just I guess for my and for the public's knowledge as well, the difference between properties that are under petition and other that might fall under stormwater utility funds.
Yeah, stormwater utility funds can be used for general purpose in terms of that, but if there's no petition, I can't use stormwater utility funds on private infrastructure. Until a backyard drain or something like that is brought under petition, that's not public infrastructure, it's private infrastructure. So,
we have 24 of those plats in Moncova Township.
Correct.
Private infrastructure, draining water a variety of places, or not draining water as the case may be, or whatever.
Correct. So there is a mechanism to essentially bring those under ditch petition. The ditch petition can be done under any benefiting landowner. So so any one property owner can request a petition and request that the things be brought under petition. Since most of those subdivisions have township roads, townships also have the ability to place it under petition because you are also a benefiting landowner through the streets that are in that. The streets go to the catch basins that run into those pieces of infrastructure that need to be maintained. So townships are considered a benefiting landowner, and you do have the ability to initiate a petition if you choose as a benefiting landowner.
If we initiate a petition for the township, how does the assessment work?
It basically gets split between all benefiting landowners.
Including the township.
Including the township. Okay. So all benefiting landowners have to pay in, that's how the petition process works.
I know you're working on the ditch over there in Birkenridge right now, mm-hmm. which out of stormwater utility fund. So all the property owners that have been paying into that stormwater utility fund over X amount of years, and those were funds to use to clean that ditch then.
Correct, yeah, a ditch, and it's under petition, so we were able to use the stormwater utility funds to do that ditch because the ditch is under petition.
And no additional assessment to the HOA or the property owner.
Yeah, I mean, part of essentially the purpose of the stormwater utility is to pay for projects that serve the needs of the stormwater permit. So if it's something that meets the goals of the stormwater permit, it can be paid for through stormwater utility funds. If it's something that's considered general maintenance, if it's considered a logjam removal or something like that, that cannot be paid for under stormwater utility funds because those aren't things that meet the goals of the stormwater permit.
But dipping and clearing.
Dipping does absolutely. Yeah. But if it's a broken pipe, that does not.
Okay. So we know Brandywine is... There are several plats of Brandywine that are not under petition. What other? Do you know the other subdivisions?
I don't know off the top of my head. I'm sure our staff has provided a list.
Staff has provided a list.
They have provided a list.
Just not to me.
Yeah, there's quite a few. The Quarry, Brandywine, some of Burnwick,
wow.
Blystone Valley, Cross Creek Woods. The Village of Fallen Timbers, Fairway Condos, Maplewood Acres, Oakshade Acres, Sager Woods, Elwood Farms, Hamlin Subdivision, Hidden Ridge, Valhalla, Stonebrook Farms, Binebrook Estates, Wheeler, Riverview Farms Condos, Canandaigua Heights, Carney's Woodlands,
yeah.
Meadowwood Acres, Ranch Estates, Monclova Village, the Bellas at Blystone, and Keystone Business Park. And typically these are subdivisions that were done before the stormwater permit came into effect, and that was in 2012. So if you have a subdivision that was built or platted before 2012, there's a high probability that was not placed under petition.
So my question is, do we just let this happen, like it just leave it the way it is, or what's your recommendation as the expert in this subject?
I'm always of the opinion that it's better for the government to have the ability to step in to help residents if possible, but without a petition, there's no ability to do that. What you have to realize is that even if there is a petition in place, the primary responsibility is still the responsibility of the HOA. And if work is conducted under a petition maintenance, essentially those monies will be assessed.
No, I would like to drag this out, right? I would like the HOAs and the plats that aren't to have a special meeting and let them all know that we're going to do this. I don't want to blindside anybody for sure. So
I mean, so the way it's initiated is that, like I said, any one property owner can do it. There is a bond associated with it. So in order to file a petition, you have to file a bond. It's $1,500 if the amount of properties is under 200, which most of these would be the case. So it's a $1,500 cash bond. Typically, if a township is the one doing the petitioning, what we would do instead is we allow a fiscal officer certificate to be basically done in lieu of bond, so that if the only time you would collect the bond is if the commissioners essentially deny the petition at the first reading. And it basically pays for the advertising costs and the administrative costs of the petition to initiate it. After the first hearing, then the bond is returned. The process is that you basically file the petition. It gets filed with the commissioners. Within, 45 days, they have to hold a view. So essentially, that's done virtually now. Essentially, we'll go out there, we'll take a bunch of pictures. Go to the commissioner's chambers, you show like this is the gives the opportunity for residents to see any problems that they see and to address them for us to look at while we prepare the final, the initial report about the engineer's recommendation in terms of going through a petition. Then after that, they'll schedule what's known as the first hearing. The first hearing is essentially for purpose and need. Essentially, the engineer presents the problem at hand, what the engineer believes is the solution to the problem, and what he believes is the most economical way to deal with the problem. Typically for a subdivision petition, since it's already built, it's pretty easy. You have to do maintenance. Maintenance is required. And, you know, the recommendation is that it be placed under petition so that maintenance can be performed if the residents are unable to do so. After that, then the commissioners essentially tell the engineer to go do a couple things. For a subdivision petition, the main thing is to do is to determine what the cost of the improvements are. So you basically determine the cost of the improvements that they were built today, how much would it cost, and then you partition that cost out among the benefiting landowners. For a subdivision petition, they're split equally, so each lot gets an equal share, since they equally share.
So you would start collecting money.
We don't start collecting money until then that's just the benefit assessment. So I just determine based on the total cost and the split. So if there was an assessment, how is it split up, right?
Okay.
And the way the code works is based on money. So it's funny money, right? I could say that it costs $8 million to build the stormwater improvements today. There's eight lots, so each person is basically partitioned $1 million. That's the share of the construction cost that they had to build today that they would have to pay. So that's what happened. Nobody actually pays the $1 million. It's just a way to determine splitting cost.
And Valhalla may never call on you, but it is under protection if it would happen.
That's correct. The only thing that we bill for and that we assess for is we're required by code to essentially inspect every petition once a year. So we go out there and inspect it, see what the shape of it is. If it's in bad shape, we notify the HOA, like, hey, it's in bad shape, you need
okay.
to do something.
So somebody is from the county going into
correct.
These.
Correct. Every year we take a look. If there's something that we believe is wrong or there's some deferred maintenance we believe needs to be done, we'll notify the HOA that it needs to be done. Eventually, if it isn't done and we have to step in, then yes, there is the possibility
okay.
it could be assessment, but that would occur long in advance before we ever get there.
So, Mike, our road crews do a phenomenal job, and I can say that from a resident standpoint, I'm sure Doug's going to continue with doing what they do. And they know best practices, primarily after leaf season,
sure.
you know, best practices to try to limit any kind of water flow through the right-of-way infrastructure. Is this something that you could support us with our quarterly monitor, perhaps giving residents best practices if, in fact, it could be for right-of-way with leaves or it could be for backyard drains? What's
yep.
best practices for residents that we could disseminate to our constituents?
Yeah, we have a big education and outreach campaign that we do. If you watch TV, it's on TV. We do a whole bunch of Facebook ads. We do a whole bunch of stuff on our Facebook page.
Yeah, maybe we can share
things.
Some Facebook
we can definitely
stuff
share
too.
Our Facebook stuff. We usually put one or two things every month.
Roundabout Ron.
Yeah, Roundabout Ron. He does a roundabout side. But we do put a lot of stuff out in terms of best practices. Like right now, our focus is on fertilizer use and grass clippings. So in terms of, you know, minimizing your fertilizer use and mowing your grass clippings in the lawn, don't bag them, don't dump them in the ditch.
Or the top of storm
drains. Yeah, top of storm drains or all kinds of things. You know, that's the campaign going right now. Usually we have four or five themes throughout the year that we go on. Like during the winter, it's usually salt use. Falls leaves. Usually during the summer, it's pool water and what you do with your pool water, or you know, in terms of dog waste pickup and pet waste pickup and those sort of things. We usually have about four or five themes that we go through every year and you know, educate the public on.
And just, I guess, a question for our road supervisor Doug: do you have a resource list of HOA would call the township, say, hey, my pond's not draining or something like
that? I have a handful of HOAs that call us. We
could refer to them, somebody jet their drains or something like that. Or
well, I don't advertise for private companies. to say I could use these guys. I just don't think that's a good idea.
If we had a list of four or five names, I'd hear some.
Do you guys have a list of that?
We don't. We don't recommend contractors. We'll tell you the specific contractor to look for. So, yeah, go to Google, look up these guys.
Yeah,
those
are.
I don't think.
And we won't tell you.
There's a muskrat stuck in the drain. Who to call?
Yeah. You know, they'll tell us the problem is. We'll say, okay, type this in Google, and they'll give you some names.
But once it's under petition, then the homeowner doesn't have to worry about that.
Yeah, so it's under petition. They call us, and then we'll call the HOA.
Yep.
And, you know, if they can't handle it, then we can. But, you know, the deal is that you get assessed if it's outside the right-of-way. Yeah.
So when an HOA calls you, like I have an HOA that calls quite often.
Yep.
About the same pond that way back when this neighbor was put in, the township put a grate in. And during storm, they want us to come over and close this grate and clean this up. The problem is when our guys do that, it creates a huge amount of suction almost instantaneously.
I'm sure it does.
And my fear is our guy falls in and gets stuck.
Yeah, I mean, our guys won't do that for that reason. It's not safe. You have to wait until it goes down. There's really no way around it. You know, I'm not going to put our crews in a position where they're essentially they risk their safety to try to do something like that.
So
sometimes the especially with the rains that we've gotten this spring, most of the time the only thing you can do is wait it out, because there are times when the amount of rainfall and the amount of precipitation we get is more than the system can handle. And we definitely got that last year, and we definitely got that this year. And a lot of
times, it's not a pipe size. It's not some builder problem.
No, I mean, there are times, I mean, we design infrastructure in order to not make it cost a fortune.
Okay.
That only represents a certain, you know, the normal rainfall. There are times when we get more than the normal rainfall, and you know we don't design infrastructure for Noah's flood. You know, we design infrastructure to handle the majority of the cases that we get. If we get something that's more than that or above and beyond that, you have to wait for, essentially, just like anything else, you have to wait for it to be able to accommodate it. And it just takes time.
So the only downside I can see here is that someone might end up getting assessed.
Mm-hmm. It's rare. I mean, we have hundreds of subdivision ditch petitions across the county. I can count on my hand the number of times we've had to do something. So it's rare. Most of the time, the HOA or people handle it. There's a couple cases where actually the homeowners association requested us to handle it, and that's fine. And we do that. We do that for a couple of subdivisions where we mow the lawn in their basin. It's a dry basin, and we mow the lawn, but they all get assessed, and they're happy with that because they know someone's taking care of it.
Some of these. What are they called? Petitioned subdivisions don't have homeowners associations. So.
Yep. And we've run into that. I would say Sylvania Township has a lot of those issues too.
And you've done this in Sylvania Township.
We have. Most of the time, it's when a group of homeowners, you know, they just keep on having these issues and problems and complain, and we tell them this is your solution. You know, so if you want something done, this is the solution. Go through the process, and that's the purpose of the process, is to let the residents essentially make their what they want known.
And
usually, if it gets to that point, it's bad enough that most people are behind it. You might have a handful of people that don't want to get assessed, but most of the problems that you see, they're there. They're not going away, and if you want it dealt with, That's the mechanism that the Ohio Revised Code provides, and there's no way for us to do something different. That's where we are slaves of the Ohio Revised Code.
Yes, we are.
And if the Ohio Revised Code tells you this is the way that it's dealt with, that's the way that it's dealt with. And you know, if people feel general tax dollars can't be used to deal with private infrastructure, and they can't be used for drainage, the way that the Ohio Revised Code deals with drainage infrastructure and maintenance of drainage infrastructure is through a ditch petition that's paid for those who benefit from the drainage. and that's the mechanism that's used.
And I also heard you say that there were plenty of opportunity for public comment, that a special meeting prior might not be necessary, that this process already has public input put into place.
There's three places, so the view, the first hearing, and the final hearing.
Will the people going under petition know that it's happening?
Yes. They all get notice.
Okay.
Every single person who goes to the dis petition, they'll get a notice before the view to tell you the time of the view in the first hearing, and they'll get a notice before the final hearing.
Okay, so the next step is for us to decide whether we're making the petition or not.
Correct. So the first step, so the way that the petition process works is essentially you come to the engineer and tell them what your issue is, so you kind of qualified. Generally, you tell them which ones you want done in order. I don't know if we'll do them all at once. Probably space them out a little bit. And decide which ones you feel need to be done first and kind of come up with a schedule about how you want to go about doing it. It depends on you what you want to do. You can do it, you know, step by step by step, or you can do them all in one wad, and essentially they'll just be done in one big hearing process.
Okay.
To be able to do it, it's up to you how you want to handle it.
Okay.
But that's the first step. You'll have to file bond. So
I thought you said Gavin's our bond.
Gavin's the bond, so that's the way you do bond. So the way you do is you pass a resolution, and then you appropriate monies for the bond. With a fiscal officer certificate. After the first hearing, we send a letter back to the fiscal officer saying that your bond is released. So,
okay.
Is it a bond for each subdivision or just one bond for
all? If they're going to be separate petitions, and for subdivisions, there'll be separate petitions, there'll be one bond per petition.
Okay.
But again, I've been doing this for 7 years. And in the 7 years, I've never taken from the bond.
Okay, thank you, Mike Panuski. Any other questions?
Good job,
okay? you all want to think about that and we'll put it back on the agenda, or you want to do something right now about it?
Yeah.
We need to sort through that list.
Yeah.
But if you're interested in moving ahead, we can get the list sorted and get started on it.
No, I think it would be appropriate to review the list, see what potential issues there may be, and then if we do decide to put any of these subdivisions under petition, to have a public hearing and let the...
You want a special meeting to begin with, or
a
meeting
special,
here.
A public meeting to let the residents in that subdivision, if we're going to put them under the possible...
So that's what I said. I said there's three, right? Mike's going to guarantee that there are three times they get touched and they get contacted by the Lucas County engineer.
Right.
So I don't know that we need our own hearing.
Yeah. Public hearing here.
Yeah, but it's going to be... Commissioners is going to be 10 o'clock downtown. That's not
uh-huh.
I'd rather have it at 6 o'clock here if we're going to do that for our residents.
Okay. That means we have to contact them. So I hear we want to work on it, Mike?
Or if we can make a special request to have the commissioners have the public hearing out here.
We can do that too, yeah. But let's review the list and see what, some of them there may not be.
Yep.
The fallen timbers condos, I don't think, I don't think there's anything a pond
something
or anything there. I mean,
we can work on with the other as a team.
Did you hear that, Mike? Sorry. He said the fallen timbers condos, there's nothing there. It's just streets, right? It's just, but the,
I don't know. I guess
but isn't there drainage everywhere? Like, shouldn't.
Everywhere has drainage.
Right.
It doesn't matter whether there's a basement or not.
Right. I don't want to let anybody out. I don't want to. I think this solves problems for people.
Yep.
And the worst that can happen is they have to use it.
Yeah.
But most of these people are never going to use this.
Yeah. Mostly with condos, the only thing we put under petition is the basis of the outlet. Yeah. So typically, upstream of the basin is we consider private because they have a condo association. Part of their requirement under the ORC that they have to keep a
escrow to basically maintain those things. So we're not as concerned about, because there's another mechanism for them to deal with the pipes in a condo under the condo association, the condo laws. We put the base and the outlet in to ensure that the BMPs maintain the quality.
Okay. So.
Yeah, we can review the list and prioritize and categories.
Start working on this project.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
I'll make a motion to suspend the reading of the April 20th, 2026 minutes and approve them as accepted by the fiscal officer.
Second.
Second by Laux. On the motion, Laux?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
That takes us to old business. And I just said I shouldn't have let him go. So now, Mike Hampton, you get to be Mike Panuski for road roundabout closure update.
Yeah, absolutely. So the latest I received on Friday from the Lucas County Engineer Chief Inspector, met out here in front here. June 1 is the pushback date to the First Energy and the attempts to relocate things. So Geddes Paving, they're the contractor that'll be doing it. So June 1, we're looking for that. And then immediately after, hopefully between 30 and 45 days, Waterville, Monclova, and Monclova, by the same contractor, will start immediately after that.
And you solved our emergency service issue for this roundabout?
Yes.
So we will have a pathway to use Monclova Road. Have we thought about that blockage?
Working on that one.
Right now?
Currently, yes.
Okay, good.
So
we like that you're working on things.
Yeah, so the chief's aware of it. The biggest hurdle we're going to have is keeping the general public from trying to use it.
No. Barrels work.
Yeah, that's the biggest hurdle on that.
Under old, is that good, guys? Anything else about roundabouts? No. Under old business, we added welcome signage and expressway signage. So at our last meeting, Eric brought this to our attention. In the meantime, Chuck Herschel talked to Yarger Manufacturing. So, Chuck, let's start with this one, and then we'll go to you.
Okay. So Lamar's provided me with updated drawings, and basically there's two of them, so the one you're looking at now would be westbound, so that would be you're coming down Maumee Western, coming into the township, so it says welcome to Monclova Township. Then the other picture would be eastbound, so it doesn't have the welcome on it.
Because we're leaving.
Yep.
We're leaving the best township. Okay, I don't see any downside to this. We're concerned that the sign, the advertisement could have something inappropriate on it. That hasn't been the case in the past, and we won't have any control of it if there is something inappropriate on it. So, you know, we'd have to go put brown paper over welcome to Monclova if we're that upset. I think it's a risk we're taking. I think this is a generous offer. I'm all on board.
Me too.
Debbie is too. Chuck?
Yep.
Chuck's on board too. What do you need from us, Eric?
I think I'm good to go. Then I'll let them know that the board is on board.
Okay. Chuck, what did you come up with?
Yarger Manufacturing has two static billboards on their property currently that face US 23, and they would like to potentially replace those with one digital billboard similar to this along US 23. If we had any objections to that, I checked with Eric. It is consistent with our zoning. There's some height restrictions, but with that, I asked Matt, and he said they would certainly be willing to accommodate. Similar to, there's a electronic or a digital billboard on Airport Highway right across from Menards, and up at the top says Springfield Township, so that they would do the same on Monclova Township with that at no cost to the township. But with the digital billboard on 23, that would have to be approved by ODA. So I assured him that we didn't have any objections, that he would begin the application process with ODA.
Yeah, no objections, and I would even offer our administrator to help Matt do whatever needs done to get that accomplished.
Mm-hmm. And maybe we could use, I mentioned to him that maybe a couple of, you know, like our drug take-back day or, you know, fill the boot program, different things, community events that we have in the township that maybe Lamar could promote some of our events at no cost to us as well.
You good, Debbie?
Yep, I'm good.
Okay. If you need Matt's contact information, we have it.
I emailed him the other day.
Okay.
Which I've attached.
Okay. Crack seal. Do you need us to make a motion to approve?
Yep, absolutely. So bids came in for the 2026 crack seal program. The low bidder was Scodeller Construction at $102,650. They're out of Wixom, Michigan. The county has no objection, as you all remember. This is a joint project with the county, so they have no objection to it. So really, it's just awarding the contractor and the amount, and for you all to sign the contract.
What's the amount again?
$102,650.
I'll make a motion to accept the bid from Scodeller Construction of Wixom, Michigan, totaling $102,650 for the 2026 Mount Clova Township Crack Sealing Program.
Second.
Seconded by Lux. On the motion, Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Lux?
Yes.
Great. That takes us to new business, and I'm going to start with you, Mike, in the server upgrade. You need a server upgrade.
Yes.
Which has been budgeted for, but it's become a pressing issue. So you want to tell us about it?
Yeah, so that was one of the first hurdles to tackle when I started on Friday was server is just obsolete. It's 9 years old. It's ran 4 years past the typical lifespan of a server. We're only growing and adding more to that, so there's not much space on it. It is wise to, it's running Windows 2016, so that's how old it is. So we have definite need to upgrade the server. That's through TrialTech, our IT folks.
Yeah.
At $15,825.
I'm going to hand that to somebody so we get it right. Yeah. And just to add, cybersecurity is now mandated, so yeah. I'm sure this all plays a role in it as well.
That's correct.
Move to approve $15,825 to TrialTech to upgrade the township server.
Second.
Seconded by Lang. On the motion, Lux?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes. I, real quickly, before we talk about the budget, that's you, Gavin, just want to make a motion for the township administrator to sign approved contracts on behalf of the Board of Trustees.
Second.
For discussion purposes, that's just making sure we've crossed all our T's and dotted our I's.
Seconded by Lux. On the motion, Lang?
Yes.
Lux?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
That takes us to you, Gavin.
All right.
We've got your budget, we've got updates, we've got bill payment, and any correspondence. We've given it all to you.
All right. Someone wants to approve the bills as presented.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to pay the bills as submitted, totaling $254,935.58 per the attached list.
Second.
Seconded by Lux. On the motion, Herschel?
Yes.
Lux?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Next, I need to have you set a public hearing for the 2027 budget for Monday, June 15th.
I'll make a motion to set a public hearing for the 2027 Mount Clova Township budget for Monday, June 15th at 5:30 p.m.
Second.
Seconded by Lux. On the motion, Herschel?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Lux?
Yes.
I sent out the budget timeline to everyone, and I'm meeting with Mike tomorrow. We're going over some stuff, then we'll start meeting with department heads, and we'll follow that, and I'll start getting you a bunch of stuff to review.
Any correspondence we need to discuss?
I do not see any correspondence.
Anything for Gavin?
No.
That takes us to Township Administrator. Do we leave anything for you? Did you cover it all?
I think you got it all. Yeah, so.
I mean, you've been here 2 days. Right. We would expect a more complete report.
I just want to hats off to the team here. Very warming and welcoming. I knew everyone ahead of time with my prior role, but they've just been wonderful. And I can see nothing but great success for my Clover Township moving forward.
Good news.
Continued success.
Continued.
We do have an executive session tonight, but before I go into executive session, I have two people that would like to address the board. Risa, would you like to, right, I'm there. I've covered everything, right? Risa, would you like to start?
Thank you. Welcome, Mr.
Hey, thanks.
Do I have 2 minutes? I'm trying to remember. 2 minutes?
2 minutes.
Okay. My Clover Township's official website statement of December 12th, 2025, titled Transparency in Practice, quote, "We want to be clear. There have been no discussions, negotiations, or meetings with any developer regarding a data center project because no project exists." Also on the township's website, the trustees represent the community based on their intimate knowledge of their constituents and ends with the statement, quote, "The trustees are here to serve you." And the website states on Trustee Lang's section that she is, quote, "working to represent the residents of Monclova." On Trustee Lang's electbarbara.org website, Barbara, quote, "brings valuable experience in team building and communication, and, quote, of critical importance is staying in touch with residents." By the way, this website also lists that Trustee Lang was endorsed by Mike Hampton, then Springfield Township Administrator, and her Fox Hollow neighbor. But on Wednesday, March 4th, morning of March 4th of this year, I received a phone call from Fiscal Officer Gavin Pike, openly acknowledging during that conversation that at least two meetings were held spring of 2025 to discuss the potential of a data center development in Monclova. As a matter of fact, adjacent to my community, Waterside. Anyone from Waterside residents remember that acknowledgement at our Hot Topics event? As chair of trustees, why did Barbara Lang choose to deny this activity took place when asked multiple times? And why is this behavior we've been met with over the past 7 months? Impetuous, impatient, contemptuous, insolent, impudent. Not characteristics any elected official should display, and if they do, maybe it's time for that official to step down or be removed. Trustee Lang, you have lost your way. So at this time, we ask that you do what is right for your constituents, your community, and step down because you are not working to listen to nor represent the residents of Monclova. You have lost our trust.
Lost your trust. I said at the last meeting I would not be resigning. Gavin wants to address this right now.
So it said we did not meet with a developer, and we met with with the city of Maumee.
Correct. Isn't that what I just read? You did not meet with any developer, but you lied by omission saying that there were no discussions or meetings. So again, lack of trust, lack of transparency, lack of disclosure, lack of integrity.
I want to say that it's really just a matter of semantics here, and you're not going to feel that way, and you're going to boo me, but the truth of the matter is I have never met with the city of Maumee or anyone else. I wasn't in that meeting. I said that at Waterside when I stood there. I said, hey, I wasn't there. There's a lot to learn.
Live omission. No, you personally weren't there. We have not spoken with does not mean you have not spoken with.
I'm just trying to clarify how this may have played.
No, you can't wiggle out of this.
I'm not wiggling. I was just trying to clarify. Next. Linda Posadny.
I'm so glad.
I'm happy to clarify if anybody wants to talk to me individually.
My name is Linda Pisani, and I do live at Waterside, and I do have a concern. But I know when you said we were going to have a 12-month moratorium, and you're going to get a committee together to look at all the information around a data center. Have you done that?
So we didn't say a committee. We said our zoning department would take care of it, and Eric and our attorney are working on that issue.
Do you have
a committee
people out there that don't want the data center on that?
We have a zoning commission. So
That's how we're doing it.
You're confusing an unauthorized committee that is not a part of the township.
Okay.
There is a committee out there that is not that does not have a formal role with us.
Okay. And also, has there been any more clarification on, you said there was a developer looking at the farmland for 5 acres of wanting to sell plots of 5 acres of land?
It was Chuck and Jim Moline.
So Jim Moline, who owns 40-plus acres in this blue area here, has submitted a development plan to Lucas County.
Okay, so there's a good possibility that that's going to happen versus the data center?
Well, he only owns this 40 acres here at the northern portion of it along the bike trail, and that's currently under option to the Monclova Property Group, but that option expires sometime in September. So I'm presuming that if Mr. Moline submitted a development plan saying he's got the wheels in motion to start doing 5 acre lot developments, similar to his other projects that he's done in the township.
Thank you. And I also have another quick question. I promise I'll sit down. Now I lost my brain. Lost my thought. Shoot. I'll remember next
time. If you think of it, holler. When you talk about the zoning commission and us looking during this 12 months at what we can do to improve the zoning commission, that's what Gavin referenced very much when we went to that October meeting, that in the spring we sat down with, not me, other members, because all three of us can't show up anywhere, sat down and talked about how our zoning code needed to protect the township. And we reference that all the time. That's not talking to a developer. It's not talking to a landowner. Now, that team did involve the city of Maumee and maybe Lucas County.
I can't remember all the government type of
right.
Is that where all the 8 schematics came up about all of the proposed?
So when they were trying to explain that our zoning code wasn't appropriate for today's world, they might have used maps and we said, well, what should we be doing? And we moved ahead. There were the public meetings that we've referenced. We've done all the things correctly. We're not trying to deceive anyone. We have no NDA signed. You can come every 2 weeks and ask for my resignation. I am not going to resign.
You said there were no maps.
No map? I just now said... Okay, no, I'm not going to continue. I tried to be as clear as possible. I'm not going to continue.
I've asked for public records for maps, and I've gotten responses. There are no maps.
I said at that meeting, she held up a picture of a map.
We have no maps. There may be maps out there that Monclova Township is not part of. And so if you're asking for information from us that we do not have,
Risa just held up a map, and I said they may have brought that picture to the meeting. I have no idea. I don't have a map.
No, you said they did.
Oh, my God.
When you guys were discussing the redoing the zoning in the spring, you said they brought, that's where you saw the maps. This is why we don't trust you.
I didn't say that.
Developers try and bring people there, they put things together to try and entice people to come. It is not a Monclova map. I don't have a copy of the map. It isn't an official map. There's plots out there for all sorts of things that are not official public records. So when you ask for a map and I say there is no map, there is no Monclova map. There's nothing been submitted. Just because someone makes a map does not mean it's happening. It's a marketing piece by a private business. There's a difference between
that. You and Mr. Herschel attended, there were no maps last spring. The spring meetings that you acknowledged were taken regarding the potential of a data center deal. There were no maps presented to either of the two of you. Is that what you're stating now?
I think you've been consistent in whatever you've stated.
I stated to you that whatever you're holding, I believe I have viewed, yes. But does that mean it's an official map? It's a marketing piece of people trying to get there.
I'm not asking about an official map. I'm asking about forthright honesty about the situation.
We have done our absolute best to be forthright and honest.
We have enough people that were at the hot topics at Waterside last fall.
Absolutely.
Who recall, we have enough witnesses to that.
I'm not saying you don't have a witness to what I said. I'm trying to clarify maybe whole picture. You got a little snapshot.
No, I deal in whole picture, so I go back to the sources.
No, but for example, you shared with me.
I'm not going to convince you otherwise.
Diagrams of a proposed data center that I have never seen from anywhere except from you.
You didn't seem very surprised when I showed you.
Well, no, because I hear things. Yeah, no, I mean, I have not, like I said.
Did you attend two meetings spring of 2025 to discuss a potential data center deal adjacent to Waterside?
I'm trying to think.
Gavin said you and he did.
You know.
On March 4th, the morning of March 4th of this year, he said that you and he attended at least two meetings. Those were two meetings that he was present at, that he was aware of. All we're asking for is building trust. Yeah. We're not demanding so much as to just be forthright. All right?
And we're really trying all the time to be as forthright as
you're not.
Okay, then I can't have this conversation anymore.
We listen to the audio recordings.
I will go back and listen as well.
Record them. Yeah.
Thank you for your comments. We're going into executive session if you want to stay and talk to me individually. I'm sorry, I can't do that.
I'm kind of new to this area, so if someone doesn't resign, can we do a recall here?
You all can discuss that without me.
I
would like to make a motion to move to executive session to consider the appointment, employment, dismissal, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of a public employee.
Seconded by Lopes. On the motion, Lopes.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes.
Lyon.
Yes. We are returning from executive session, so I'll make a motion to return from executive session to general session.
Second.
Seconded by Herschel. On the motion, Lopes.
Yes.
Lyon.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes.
There's no business to conduct from that executive session, so I would accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Seconded by Lox on motion Lang.
Yes.
Herschel.
Yes.
Lox.
Thank you for attending. Good night.